Well, let me welcome, add my welcome to those that you have already received, whether you are catching this through our Christian Assembly Church Los Angeles app, whether you're catching it online, whether you're seeing this on the south side of the street on Sunday morning, or whether you're here with us now, it is great to be with you. As many of you might know, I had the privilege of going to Africa, to Kenya as well as Tanzania, so we're going to be kicking off a brand new series this weekend called Lessons from Africa for Life in LA, where I've kind of distilled down four things that I saw and learned about following Jesus. But before we jump in to this new series, I want to tell you a couple good things that are just happening. I want you to be aware of them. Because of your ongoing generosity, we were able to make a facility upgrade into the life of our campus on both sides of the street. So as you exit, you might be able to see we have upgraded security doors in all of the buildings, both north and south side of the street. So thank you for your ongoing generosity. And also, last Thursday, we had 100 students say yes to Jesus at San Fernando High, which was amazing. Yeah, you can applaud that. That's good work. That's through our partnership with FCA. And then the following day, we had another 30 students say yes to Jesus at Sylmar High. So that was really amazing. So God is at work on our campuses. Another good thing to tell you is that 3 weekends ago, we launched a new church plant in partnership with a few others, and so that's going to be down in Crenshaw, if you know the Crenshaw area at all, and so it's a guy that God has kind of brought across my path, somebody that I've been helping to mentor, and because of your generous giving, we're able to help support along with some others, and so they did their launch Sunday. He'd been working hard for almost a year to develop this, and so they launched. They had 267 people come, and they had 25 people make first-time commitments to Christ on the very first weekend. Isn't that amazing? Really great happening down there at Dorsey High School. And also, I want to say to the 260 households that are participating in the money back tithe, way to go. One quick little story. A woman told me she was already tithing, but she heard me say when we did that, when we launched that, that you can't outgive God is one of the things that I had said. And so she's already tithing, but she had a little bit of extra money. So she decided to give it and said, okay, well, God, I'm gonna give this to you. Funny thing, now this was early February when this happened. She had entered into a Super Bowl poll at work, and she doesn't know anything about football. She won it, so they ended up giving her $1,000 after she kind of was like, all right, God, I'm just going to be generous and see what you do. Now, I'm not saying tithe and go to Vegas. I'm just sharing that as a funny little story of how God is at work in one person's life. So thank you for those of you that are participating and give generously. Well, it is a brand new 4-week series that we are launching. And you might be wondering, why are we doing this series? Well, there's a number of reasons why we are doing this series. The first is that the global church, we need the global church. Those of us who are here in the U.S., we need the global church. One of the joys of being a follower of Christ is that you become part of the most diverse organization on the planet. And we have a lot to learn from each other. And those lessons are often transferable. So we'll learn things that are applicable for our life following Jesus right here in L.A. The other reason is so many of you have been asking me about wanting to hear just about what God is up to and what we're partnering with there in Africa. And God has been doing amazing things through you, unbelievable things that you're going to see and hear each weekend. Each weekend, you're going to hear one lesson that is founded from God's Word, coupled with testimonies from Africa that apply to our lives as much here in LA as it does in Africa. This very first weekend, the first lesson comes from the dedication service at the Living Room campus in Eldoret. In fact, would you take a look at the side screens to give you just a little taste as we jump in?
Thank you.
What you saw there whenever they were pouring, that you can applaud that. Yeah, God's at work. It's amazing. What you saw there when they were drawing in the dirt, they were drawing a cross in the dirt, and we were anointing the ground with oil. And it was amazing to be part of that, and you'll get to hear a little bit more. When I was with the living room this time, I could not shake the feeling that I was living a modern-day experience from a story of Scripture. In fact, it's there for you in your bulletin. It comes from John chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Here's what it says in verse 5 and on. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that in the face of this huge crowd?" "Tell everybody to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. Now, in Kenya, I had heard a part of the story, the genesis of the Living Room Ministries, that I had never heard before. Julie McGowan Boyd was really overwhelmed, as she shared, with the amount of need that she saw everywhere there in the Kipkaran area as well as Eldoret area of Kenya. And so she went and she shared with the Tyrus family, and there should be a picture there. There's the Tyrus family, who are also part of our international leadership that we help support financially. So they're faced with this kind of overwhelming need and completely uncertain exactly what to do with people who are dying of the AIDS epidemic and the crisis, but then expanding on to other healthcare needs of cancer, and the list goes on. And so Julie is explaining all of this, and she says to Allison Tyrus, pictured there, she said, "You know, I don't know how this is all going to work out. Like, I don't know what the big plan is. You know, I don't know what to do. I mean, there's just so much need." And then Allison Tyrus said these words, "I don't know either, but let's try." That little phrase, "but let's try," was really the launching of the Living Room Ministries. Staggering need, overwhelming odds, completely aware that they did not have the resources to meet the challenge, wondering if what good they had, the little bit that they did have to offer God, would make a difference. The original disciples committed what they had into the hands of Jesus, and the disciples of today are called to do the same thing. That phrase, "let's try," was said about 10 years ago in 2009. In 2010, God had multiplied the faith of that little phrase of "let's try" into the Kimbaleo, that word means refuge, the Kimbaleo Living Room Hospice and Care Center, and there's a picture of it there. We helped fund the purchase of that and the building of that back in 2010, so thank you for your generosity. That facility has 24 inpatient beds that care for about 250 guests a year. They serve another 400 people through outpatient care in the patients' homes in the surrounding kind of area and villages, as well as care for orphans, as well as vulnerable children through education and care. Fast forward then to 2016, and God compels the Living Room team to dream of expanding to a second campus. David Tyrus, and there should be a picture there, David Tyrus is the Kenyan board chair. So he is the chair of the Kenyan board. There's also a U.S. board, but he's the chair of the Kenyan board. He's also a bishop there in Africa. And David, now he's been here with us before. If you've ever been around this man, he is a singular force for the kingdom of God. I mean, he is one of the most remarkable men that I've ever met and been around. But when he saw what it was going to cost in order to do the expansion and create a second campus outside the city of El Doret, when he saw that, this is what he said. He said, when I saw the numbers, I reached into my pocket and I had nothing. And I looked at the numbers again and I thought, this is not possible. He was actually visiting here at Christian Assembly. He was seated in that second row right there as he tells the story. And in that worship service, Josh McGowan and Julie sang a worship song that David reported that he said it was there at Christian Assembly in California when God awakened my faith that he is able. It was right here in the second row through a worship song that God awakened the faith that he is able. Now, if you've been around, you know a little bit of the story. Julie came and kind of said, here's kind of the plans. And then we said, well, like, how much are you wanting or asking for Christian Assembly to give? And in a way that only Julie can say, she said, I don't have an answer. And in a way that I respect maybe only Julie, I could say, well, okay, I guess we'll have to go to God with that. Normally, I would say, you need to have an answer. I got to go talk to our board of elders. But she said, well, I'll just let God handle that. Through times of prayer and conversation, the Lord led a number of us to a proverb that says this, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, he will repay you for what you have done. And then the question arose in our hearts, what would we advise the elders to give if we really just simply took God at his word, if we just took that proverb at his word? And the answer was to give the full amount that was needed, which was $1.2 million. So $1.2 million was needed. We gave $1.2 million. That decision was made in December 5th of 2016. The money was given in January. If you remember, we gave $600,000 cash, but one of the elders said, hey, listen, we want to help them grow the generosity and others, and so we'll do the other $600,000 as a matching gift as they raise money from other churches or donors outside of CA. Now, you would think that would take a long time. For like kind of almost anybody, it would take a long time to raise $600,000. It took 10 weeks, and they had $600,000 in the bank from other churches and benefactors who decided to give. And so the full $1.2 million was given to fund the El Doret campus, which is what we saw a few pictures of. The El Doret campus is 45 beds, so it's about double the inpatient size as the Kimbalio campus. We'll be able to care for about 500 guests a year inpatient and serve another 1,200 people outpatient. So now combine the two different campuses combined, expect to be able to care for 750 inpatients per year and 1,600 people outpatient. Now I wish that I had a magic wand that we could all have gone there and been there. And I wish I could have taken you all with me, because you're part of this amazing multiplicative miracle that God is doing. But what I did was I literally just stood on the El Doret campus and I took my camera and I just spun around 360 degrees. And so I want you to see this little video to just give you a sense of the campus and the scale of it. That's the inpatient wing right there. This wing includes some of the semi-private rooms that will help for sustainability economically for people that are maybe middle class that are looking for this care. We went room by room and dedicated the room. And there you see in the corner there, right there, the chapel. That chapel, interestingly, is in the shape of our Southside campus. It's literally in the same shape. And what I love about their plans is that economically you might think, well, let's just do this at the end. There's some of the wheelchairs that you see getting ready. This was a little tractor that was made for kids that come, because they're also caring for kids. You see some of the dedication ceremony that was there and the tents that were put up. That's the governor who came and was speaking at the gathering. You see some of the media presence. You see David Tyrus there down on his knees dedicating the land back to God. The different rooms that we poured oil over and asked God to anoint the ground to be used for his kingdom and for the goodness of those around. When we were there, one of the things, oh yeah, this one last one, it's not all serious business, so it was fun to have that little moment as well. It was amazing to see what God was up to. God is up to a massive miracle that we are getting to be part of. Now, that $1.2 million helped to go build everything that you saw there. But let's go back to the feeding of the 5,000 for a moment. Think for a moment of what it would have felt like to be the little boy that had the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. I mean, you packed your lunch. You came prepared as the little boy. What's wrong with all the adults that are around you, right? I mean, they got to own their stuff too, right? Like, it would have been easy for that little boy to say, no. I packed this for me. Like, this is mine. I'm going to keep this. And yet, the little boy offered what he had, apparently, to the disciples, saying, well, I got this little bit. I don't know if this little bit's really going to make that much of a difference. But then they took it and gave it to Jesus, and Jesus took what the little boy entrusted to him. In fact, Jesus took what you gave. Maybe some of you just gave a little bit. You just had a little bit to give, and Jesus took the little bit that you gave, and he took the little bit from some others, and God multiplied it, and he is now using it to meet the needs of thousands. And the same thing is happening in this story, as well as on the other side of the planet. Literally, God is using you to meet the needs of thousands and thousands and thousands of people as time will go on. Now, I was not the only person who was there from Christian Assembly at the dedication service. There were a few others who were there as well. And we each reflected on our way, some of the ways that we saw God taking that $1.2 million, which obviously built the campus, but we saw God multiply that gift in maybe ways that we wouldn't have expected. Like, we knew the campus would be built, but we didn't know how God would use our generosity and the gift to begin to create these multiplying ripple effects for his kingdom. So what I want to do is I'm going to bring up in a moment three others who were there with me and are part of our church family to hear directly from them. I didn't want you to only hear from me. I wanted you to hear from them some of the ways that God is taking the $1.2 million that we gave and he's multiplying it for kingdom ripple effects even beyond the facility that was built. So the three that I'm going to invite to come on up, would you welcome Dave Poole, Josh McGowan, and Albert Kim as they come. So come on up here, guys. Thanks for making the time to be able to be there in Eldoret and as well as in Kipcaron, and of course to be here as well. And so, Dave, let me just start with you as we think about what God is up to and what God is doing. You were intimately involved in this process. Dave is the part of our church, as I've mentioned, but he's also currently the U.S. chair for the board for the living room in the U.S. And so I showed you David Tyrus, who's the Kenyan board chair, and Dave Poole, something about the name Dave, I guess, for that. And so let me start with you. As you've seen this, how did you see God use that gift in a multiplying kingdom way?
Well, it is impossible to be there and not see that God is at work. Yes. And notwithstanding the incredible effort that's being put out by a lot of people, much like probably the crowds that were fed by Jesus that day, you know something that is really something amazing going on, and it was very exciting to be there. But one of the remarkable things about what's going on is the ministry started in a very small way initially. Mm-hmm. Julie was ministering to a couple of people in a corner of a building, and then the Kipcaron facility got built, and that had a remarkable reach way beyond Kipcaron. Kipcaron is really a tiny village, very rural, in Africa, in Western Kenya. And yet people began to learn about it. People began to come there. But now with the Eldoret facility, Eldoret is the fifth largest city and the fastest growing city in Kenya. This new facility is located near a new cancer hospital, and is really strategically in an amazing place. One of the government officials that was there commented as we were going through this amazing facility, and it is truly a remarkable facility, that this is the model, not only for Kenya, but this is the model for Eastern Africa. And I think really our heart and our passion, our desire is that this gets multiplied. The next phase of this project really is to have an educational wing so that doctors and nurses and caregivers from all over Africa will come and see how this care is provided in a unique way to those who are terminally ill and those who are suffering with debilitating disease.
Yeah, it was amazing to see when we were there. There was a professor from Duke University who was there, and he was helping invest some time and energy as well. So that educational, kind of transformation of training of doctors and other caregivers is already beginning to happen. One of the things that I love when we think about how God's using this to transform healthcare in Eastern Africa. Now, it'd be easy, you could think, well, Tom, maybe you're just exaggerating a little bit. But there were a number of government officials that were there, and it was actually one of the senators that said, this is now not only the model for Western Kenya, it's not only the model for Eastern Africa, but it's becoming the model for all of Africa. In fact, one of the things I love that the governor said, the governor turned to the National Minister of Health and said, how can these people do this when they don't even have tax revenue to work with? How soon is it going to be until we are able to do this? It's amazing to see how even healthcare is beginning to be transformed as the politicians are seeing. And many of these politicians are believers, and so they're seeing it and they're saying, hey, we want to be part of that and we want to see God's kingdom come in a powerful and positive way. Josh, let me turn to you for a moment. Josh, just a gift to be with you, and you've been part of this story all along. I shared how you sang with Julie, your sister, and how God used that to kind of quicken and awaken David Tyrus's faith. And so as you've been walking alongside this, how have you seen God use what's going on with the living room, and particularly maybe the gift that was given, to multiply it for greater kingdom impacts?
Yeah, I love that word multiply, and I love that this sermon is on the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and that God takes what we have in our hands and multiplies it far beyond we could ever imagine. And so I feel like, personally, when I came back, I was thinking through all of the ways in which God was saying, Josh, what is it that you have in your hand? It was Thanksgiving weekend of 2016 when it was shortly after, if you know Julie's story, if you've been following along at all, one of her sons, Ryan, had been diagnosed with sickle cell, and she stumbled across a song called Sovereign Over Us. And she wanted to sing it the weekend that she spoke, but felt that she emotionally couldn't get through it, and so asked me to sing with her. And so even singing that little song, I felt like, well, I don't know what this is going to do. And yet, to hear David express how over the last 2 years of his life, God had used that song to multiply his faith, and to see the reality of the living room building, the new site, was God multiplying so much more than money. Really prayers and hard work. And as we walked through room by room and anointed each of the rooms, there was a special, very sacred moment where Tom got to share the story of CA and the Proverbs 19:17, which says, whoever gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will repay him for his deed. And as Tom shared that and talked about just the generosity, not only of us as a church, but the overabundance of generosity from the Lord, you could sense among all the other churches that were there with us that generosity began to stir up within each of them as well. And so you had, it was one of those moments where, I'm always so proud to go to CA, but you have these other churches coming up to you asking you, how's your church so generous? What is it like to be a part of a church like that? And it was really special to get to brag on CA, to get to brag on you guys, and just your faithfulness and I was telling David before, you know, there's a lot of times I felt, you know, that sense of like pride for sibling pride and just really proud of Julie. But this is one of those moments where I was so proud to be a part of CA, and I was so proud to call him my God, mm-hmm. who is miracle working and did the unthinkable. And I know there was even a church that interviewed Tom, asking him, you know, they wanted to interview him on camera so that they could take it back to the U.S. and that their church might rise up in generosity as well. So know that your legacy extends far beyond the walls of this church, and that as you seek to be generous, God is using that and multiplying it beyond even what you are aware of.
It was amazing. One of the other churches, as Josh said, hey, listen, could we just capture that story on film? We're trying to grow our church in generosity, and we feel like Christian Assembly might be a step or two ahead on your people being so generous. And so, you know, we did that. But what's interesting is some of these churches are right here in Southern California. Like, I have some lunches coming up with senior pastors that, I mean, we literally live in the same city, but I had to go to the other side of the planet to meet their missions pastor, who then all of a sudden now they're like, hey, can we talk with you? Because we want to talk through this whole generosity thing. And but it wasn't only through the giving of finances, of course, that, you know, kind of has a big effect. But we saw it in other ways, too. I mean, we saw doctors that were giving their time generously from the U.S. who had flown there, caregivers. I mean, the list goes on. There were people in Africa as well as the U.S. who are giving not only financial resources, but educational resources, their skills, their abilities, their leadership capacities. It was really remarkable. I mean, even the facility itself is, I mean, it, I'll just be honest, it's nicer than our facilities. I mean, it is top shelf in terms of the fit, the finish, and the quality. And one of the things I love was David Tyrus said that he would gather all the contractors and he would say to them, you need to do your very best work. You need to do your very best work, because you're giving your very best work unto the Lord. And he knew a couple of them were not believers. And he said, I don't even care if you're not a Christian, you still need to do your very best work. Because you're serving your fellow, you know, your fellow man and fellow woman. You're serving others who are here in this city. You need to do your very best work. And when we walked around, I was astonished at the generosity even of them. We met some of the contractors who did amazing, amazing work. Well, Albert, let me now turn a little bit to you. We heard a little bit about the healthcare ripple effects, and I think, you know, the further impact of that is still yet to come, but we're already seeing that happen. The politicians are even already seeing it and saying it. We're seeing how God took this little bit, you know, this Josh's, not a little bit, but his amazing gift to sing and stir a leader's heart to go and step out in fresh faith, and the generosity of these other churches asking us and the doctors. But how would you say, what's another area that you've seen God take the $1.2 million and not just build a facility, but multiply it for further ripple effects for the kingdom of God?
Yeah, you know, seeing the videos and the pictures just bring back so many memories. It's only been a month, but I was emotional watching the video, and I'll never forget stepping off the bus and going on to the property, praying for the facility. And like Tom was sharing, it is top notch. It is excellent. I've been reading through Exodus and talks about the building of the tabernacle. It's, you know, talks about these skillful workers, and the level of excellence is outstanding. I was blown away. I'll never forget it. It was surreal. I believe me and you, Tom, we were speechless. Mm-hmm. And as we got to pray over every part of that facility, I just thought through how God was going to use that new facility for such great ways for the kingdom of God. And in fact, at the dedication service, and Tom alluded to this earlier, you heard the politicians and other church leaders there were just testifying, we want to build that. We're seeing what God is doing through you and the purposes of the living room ministry, and we just are blown away by it. And so David, even before the dedication service, and when he told this to me, I had to kind of take a step back. He said, the living room is not only changing and impacting the local region, the cities around it, the people, it's changing Kenya, but it's also changing the continent. And after walking through the facility and being there, I totally believe that. In fact, we also had a panel there, and Tom mentioned a Duke doctor that was there, and the panel was about healthcare and the challenges of Kenyan healthcare, particularly of palliative care and hospice care. And the Duke doctor, who's not a believer of Christ, and was just testifying to the goodness and the impact that was happening through the living room. And so here we go. I mean, it's not just impacting Africa, it's going beyond the borders of Africa, impacting people back here like that Duke doctor. And it was just a powerful thing to just hear that and see God at work. And of course, you know, the staff there and going on a couple of home visits was so powerful, because you see the patients being impacted. So you see the systemic blessing and God using the living room in profound ways, but you also see the patients who are receiving the care. And one patient, I got a chance to visit, his name was Gabriel. He's a seven-year-old man with cancer who's emaciated and going through so much pain. We got a chance to visit him, and it wasn't just right next door. You have to take a little bit of a van ride out there on bumpy roads, and he was so grateful for us to be there, particularly of the living room staff person and her being able to minister to them and not just only give him medical advice and wisdom, but spiritual counsel, comfort, prayer, and setting the table for us. I got a chance to go and just pray with him and be with him, and also counseling, literally the living room staff, counseling his wife, because she looks so distressed, so despondent. But here is the living room staff blessing them and basically saying, you matter to God. You matter to God. We see you. So you see the power of God at work. And then at the dedication, I was so blessed, and it makes me emotional. I looked across the room at the front row, and who was sitting there? Gabriel was sitting there in his best attire as one of the guests of the new dedication service. So some powerful stuff God is doing. God is on the move. And like Josh was sharing, I so agree with you. You would be so proud, so proud, that you're part of what God is doing out there, and you are making a difference for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, it was amazing to see, you know, this kind of ripple effect of the witness for the kingdom. I mean, you have a Duke doctor who's like, look, I don't even believe in Jesus, but this is amazing. You know, and he's going to be bringing students in the future, and as they're trying to, you know, continue to teach the best practices. I think about the guests. They don't call them patients. They call them guests. Because words matter. And they call them guests. And I was thinking about the guests. And, you know, it's one thing to say to a guest, you matter to God. It's another thing for them to witness God has literally built a coalition of his church, both in Africa and from around the world, including Los Angeles, to make this happen so that you could get some of the very best care on the planet. I mean, that speaks, I matter to God, if you're on the receiving end of that. But it's not just only to the guests. Think for a moment, if you had a loved one who was in need of these services and you didn't have insurance and there wasn't maybe the social safety net that there exists here in the U.S. I mean, some of these people, to be completely honest with you, that it's overwhelming what the needs are, and the average family might not be prepared to care for them 24 hours around the clock and all of their needs. And so now for them to have a place that's safe and secure, that's clean, that they're going to get loving care, that this is all being done in Jesus's name. Imagine how that impacts you. You're getting to see these people take care of the people that you love the most. I mean, that is a witness to the goodness of God and to his gospel. One of the other ways that's a witness is some of the caregivers are former guests. Not everybody who comes to the living room ends up dying from the condition that they come with. Some of them actually, through various means, are able to be nursed or doctored back to health. And so some of them, once that happens, they're like, I want to become a caregiver as well. And so you see that as well. And I just think about, and we'll talk more about this in the series, but I think about the city of Eldoret. There's 800,000 people in that area 10 years ago, and now there's 1.6 million people. They've doubled in size in that whole area in 10 years, according to the governor who was speaking with me. And just think, this story has now made it back all the way to Los Angeles, but certainly it's making the rounds in Eldoret to the 1.6 million people there. Hey, what's going on with that land over there, and what are they doing, and how come people are taking the people that have the worst conditions over there? How come the doctors are referring to them there? And so you see the ripple effects of healthcare, of generosity, and the witness to the gospel. Well, would you thank these guys for just sharing and coming and being with us? So thanks, guys, for doing that. I'm going to ask the worship pastors to come up, and as we do, I want to kind of move us to a close. Think about being the disciples that day in the pages of Scripture. You're faced with overwhelming needs, uncertain of what their contribution, what difference it would really make. I mean, he's just got a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Not certain how of all it would unfold. Modern day disciples on the other side of the planet are faced with a different amount of overwhelming need, a healthcare need, looking at people with cancer, looking at people with HIV/AIDS, and the list goes on. And one female disciple shares to another female disciple, I think God wants us to do something about it, but I don't know exactly how this is going to all work, and what difference is our little effort going to make? And the other female disciple, Allison Tarus, answers, well, let's try. Like the boy with the loaves and the fish, they give what they had to offer it to Jesus, not knowing exactly what Jesus would do with it. And honestly, CA, so did you. And so have many others who have helped make this happen. And yet, I want you to know and understand that if you go and you stand on that land, and my hope is, this isn't figured out, don't hold me to it, but my hope is in the future years, we can just organize some teams that would go and serve there. Not because you're bringing some level of expertise, because they have the caregivers and the doctors, just so you can go and be with people and see what God might want to do. And when you're there, what you would see is what is happening is much bigger than the sum of all of the human contributions. Jesus is at work, and he's taking each human contribution, and he's taking it, and he's blessing it, and he's distributing it to the people. None of them knew that they were in the presence of the miracle until the needs kept on being met, until it kept happening one hungry stomach at a time. Think about what God is up to through the living room and what God has done through us the last 10 years. We're going to stand 10 more years from now and look back, and we're going to say need after need after need after need after need after need after need was being met. We gave what we had, but God did something bigger than what we had to give. He took it and he multiplied it, and we are on holy ground. And it's amazing to get to be part of what he's doing for the least of these. The holy ground is in Africa. The holy ground is on the second row of this sanctuary where God activated David Tyrus's faith. The holy ground is right here where Josh McGowan and Julie sang a song, and a song touched David Tyrus. The holy ground is in your homes when you're sitting down and deciding what you're going to do with the finances that God gave you. What are you going to do with your fish? What are you going to do with your loaves? And you've given some of it back. And from that, we were able to give together that gift. The holy moment is in a room. The holy ground is in a room across the street where the elders met and they talked and they prayed. And they said, we're going to give this back to Jesus in a fresh way, to the poor, to the least of these in Jesus' name. The holy ground is available to us, not just on the other side of the planet. You don't have to be on the other side of the planet to be faced with overwhelming odds where you feel like, well, what good would my little contribution do? The holy moment's available. The holy ground is available each time you just say, well, let's try. Remember when Jesus asked Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? We're told that he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Tricky little Jesus pulling that on Philip. Where is Jesus bringing you face to face with the impossible? And he's saying to you, well, where are we going to get the money for all this? Where are we going to get the bread for all this? Maybe he already knows what he wants to do. And he wants to include you in it. Maybe Jesus is wanting you to stare down the impossible odds that you're looking at, and you just say, hey, I don't know, Jesus, but here's what I've got. Let's try. How is God using a worship song, a friend, a sermon, a verse of his word to activate your faith? CA, what I want you to hear is that God is inviting us to be let's try kind of people. Let's try. Let's try to see our friends and family and coworkers and classmates come to Christ. Let's try. Let's try to see all the prodigals come home. Let's try to see the millennial generation come to Christ in greater numbers than any other generation before. Let's try. Let's try to be the church that renounces the sin of racism in Jesus' name. Let's try to do that. Let's try to build great marriages and great families and great businesses and great schools and great artistry and great music in Jesus' name. Let's try. Let's try to forgive people that we thought we could never forgive, but God can take our little bit of forgiveness and multiply it to be a redeeming, reconciling experience. Let's try. Let's try to be anxious for nothing by the power of prayer. Let's try. Let's try to go deep into God's word, simply taking God at his word and obeying it. Let's try. Let's try to create more space in our life for the power and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit, no longer quenching God's Spirit. Let's try. Let's try to plant gospel-centered churches in this city who will reach those who are far from God. Let's try. Let's try to help finish the task of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, to the people who have never heard the name of Jesus. I know it's a staggering challenge, but let's try. Let's try to make Los Angeles as famous for Christ as it is for entertainment. I know it seems crazy, but so does 5,000 people being well fed on 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So let's try. Let's try to see revival in this city and let it begin with us. I know it seems impossible. I know it seems impossible. It seems impossible, but lest we forget, this congregation was birthed out of a revival in this city. Does God's wind only blow in the past? Does God's wind only blow in Africa? Doesn't it blow here too? Let's try. For those of you who are fully engaged in a God-sized challenge, what I want you to hear is well done. Do not become weary in doing good, for you will receive a reward in due time. And for those of you who are facing, staring at the impossible, and you're letting the impossible keep you paralyzed in fear, today is the day for you to begin. Today is the day that you whisper, okay, God, let's try. Let's try, because this might be the beginning of a miracle in the making. Maybe God connected us to Africa, because not so much that we had something to give Africa, but God had something in Africa that he wanted to impart to us here in Los Angeles. Maybe God is ready. Maybe God is ready, but he's looking for people who will say, take my fish, take my loaves, take our $1.2 million. Better yet, take it all. And even more, don't just take it all, take us all. Take us and bless us and distribute us, distribute our lives. And all who we are, as you would see fit, to be used by you for the glory of God and the good of others. CA, let's be a let's try kind of people. Why? Because Jesus is still in the business of looking for let's try kind of people and doing something miraculous with that little faith. Today, we celebrate all that God has done in us and through us and helping build this living room campus in Eldoret. And yet I want you to know that he's not done. He's not done. He has fresh plans, and I don't know what they all are, but together I know that we each have a unique role to play. So let's try. And may we end hearing these words of God from Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says this: Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us. His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Glory to him in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God, we pray now, would you make us a let's try kind of church? You've done it, and we've seen the fruit and the evidence of it, and we thank you for that. And God, would you continue to make us let's try kind of individuals? One day at a time, and together as a community, might we see your kingdom come. Might we see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.